Don't bet against a better team at home. I don't care who died.
Three massages.
Oh, at least.
Say at least one more time. You can't say stuff like this on podcasts, all right?
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Friday, February 12th, 2010. I'm your host, Adam Berry. We're going to do a big bracketology podcast today. So joining me is the Alligator Sports, Joe Lenardi, Kyle Maestri.
I'm out to embarrass some kids today. And the Phil Kegler.
And the Alligator Sports, Andy Glockner, Phil Kegler.
I think this is going to be my best show ever.
Oh, it's going to be the best show ever. We just had the best recruiting class ever and the best show of all time. I predicted before the show, much like the best recruiting class of all time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and say this is going to be the best show ever. Every week, we step it up.
Absolutely.
All right, so obviously we're going to talk a lot about bracketology. We're going to start off with Florida and where they stand going into the, you know, some of the NCAA tournament projections. Let's see. Phil, do you want to give us some information here where Florida is projected to go right now by some of the major websites?
Sure, yeah. We have three projections we're looking at right now. ESPN, updated today, has
minutes ago,
seemingly, because I did an info sheet and then they redid it in the last hour since I left my house.
That's Monday, right? That was my logic.
Yeah. ESPN has Florida as a number 11 seed going to the New Orleans first and second round sites. SI.com, which was last updated Monday, had Florida as a 9 seed going to the Buffalo first and second rounds. And Fox, or let me clarify for a second, ESPN and SI treat their brackets as if the season ended today.
Mm-hmm.
And a third model that we have is FoxSports.com, which they do it based on projections. It's essentially predicting Selection Sunday.
Oh, someone at Fox is doing work. Yeah. Unbelievable. Well, someone's earning a paycheck at Fox Sports. That's
incredible. Actually a partnership with Bracketology101.com. It's this duo that's been the most accurate bracketologist the last 4 years running.
Can't imagine if they're projecting
stuff.
He's
the only bracketologist as far as I'm concerned, because predicting where teams are right now isn't predicting at all. It's just literally taking into account everything. Sitting down and breaking it down. So I may jump on the Fox bandwagon if someone's actually doing work over there.
Yeah, they update every Wednesday. And as of Wednesday, so this was before Florida played South Carolina, but they had the Gators as or projected to be a number 7 seed playing in Jacksonville. And ESPN currently has Florida having a 55% chance of staying in the bracket. And they have 7 games left, including 6 SEC games.
But, of course, the big one Saturday night against Xavier, another chance to get a quality non-conference win. That would
especially
help
them.
Especially at home. Yeah, at
home. And, I mean, the other thing, they're directly competing with Xavier for a spot, you know, at large if they don't win the conference tournament. So those wins are always super huge when you're competing with the same at-large on the bubble teams.
Right, and I think on the ESPN bracketology bracket that was up, you know, 55, 60 minutes ago, they were actually projected to play Xavier in the first round, which would have been an interesting little thing to note.
Yeah, that certainly would have been interesting. I guess one of the first things I guess we want to get to is, I know nothing happens in a vacuum, Kyle, but is there a couple things that you see Florida needing to do or would really help their case if they did certain things?
Yes. I'm going to say something totally different than everyone out there.
Great.
I'm going to take the Doug Gottlieb route here.
Nice.
And say,
my boy.
I don't care if they get 3 or 4 wins going out. It doesn't matter to me. They need to hit upwards of 3 wins. But what they need to do is not beat Xavier, or not Xavier because they're out of conference, but what they not need to do is beat Auburn, Georgia, and Vanderbilt.
Right.
Like, they need to get 1 win against either Tennessee or Kentucky and just win 2 other games besides that. If they can do that, just get a win against Tennessee or Kentucky, put another big win on their schedule, or on their resume, rather, then I think that'll be enough to hopefully get them in.
Let me hop in on that real quick. So you think a win over Vandy is more impressive than a win over Tennessee? Or did you just mix up your teams?
No. A win over Vandy's more impressive?
Yeah.
Maybe. I guess they're about the same. Okay. I was thinking Tennessee is more impressive, but I guess you're right. Vanderbilt could be more impressive. So either one of those two teams or Kentucky would be nice.
It's funny. I talked to Gottlieb last night for a story I was writing. He said the big ones for them were Xavier at Ole Miss and Tennessee, which, you know, I agree with, because proving you can win on the road is huge.
Also, because Ole Miss is one of the teams that's also could be on the bubble from the SEC.
Right.
I mean, the SEC West is really just so terrible. I don't think we can go any further without getting to that fact. As Ole Miss is almost in by, like, default, because it feels so weird to not have an SEC West team. But, I mean, honestly, like, I could definitely see a scenario where four or maybe five, if South Carolina makes some huge run, where all the SEC bids are East teams.
Right. I mean, and the time where that could really be solidified is in the conference tournament. Exactly. If the right. East teams just pillage the West right. in that conference tournament, then they could definitely make a push to have no West teams in the tournament.
Which we can also go back and say how retarded it is in the SEC tournament that it's going to be seeded by division.
Yep.
So Florida's going to get slammed for a seed, and like Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. Arkansas are probably going to have a technically better seed than Florida.
Yeah, but it doesn't really matter if you think about it, because they're by playing East versus West, they're getting a bye against the East in the first
true.
Round,
that's
whereas that West team has to play someone from the East. So it's like they're probably all killing each other to try to play Georgia, but like yeah. other than that, there's no easy out in any of the West, in any of the Eastern conference teams.
Where if it was all in the middle there, Florida could have to play like a South Carolina
exactly.
or a team of their
exactly.
caliber.
Yeah, so, like if you seeded it 1 through 12, they may right. yeah, they may very well end up playing South Carolina.
Or a team roughly of their quality instead of a terrible West team that's ranked, you know, right around where they are.
Yeah.
Phil, you asked us, what do you think they need to do here at the end of the year?
I think the biggest thing, just because I saw them do it last year, is they need to not lose any more games that they need to win. So in my mind, right. I mean, that seems obvious, but I'm referring specifically to at Georgia and versus Auburn. Right. I don't think they can lose either of those games.
So they lost that Georgia game last year. I know it's
right.
totally
exactly.
different, but I think Georgia's actually better this year.
And no. And they played really well at home, actually. They,
right.
had
they beat Tennessee.
They beat Tennessee. They had Kentucky to within, like, one or two possessions late in the game. So I think that's a huge danger game. Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, another thing going back, I mean, it's hindsight, but one of those games that I think would have really helped them is at South Carolina. I think a win
yeah.
there is something that they don't have to do down the road. I think there's a depending on what would happen in the conference tournament, if they beat Georgia and Auburn, so you have them at like 8 conference wins, and then if they beat Ole Miss, get to 9, I think if they won 2 games in the tournament, even if they get to 9 without any signature win, and win 2 games in the tournament, I think they would be in solely based on the non-conference wins that they got. But that's a lot of like what everybody else is doing and such like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you think the Michigan State and Florida State wins are going to be...
Yeah, I think they're going to be big. I mean, Michigan State's definitely stayed up pretty high. They've
yeah.
done... They've really helped out Florida. Rutgers, yeah, I don't
yeah,
know
it's
how
not
much,
really much of anything,
really
yeah.
Be. But, yeah, I mean, I think anything else would almost be a bonus. I don't see them beating Kentucky.
No.
I think if they're going to get a signature win, it would be one of the home games, Xavier,
right.
Tennessee, or Vandy. They play pretty well at home, so it wouldn't shock me if they got it. If they got one of those, I think they should be in pretty good as long as they don't lose something they should win, which includes probably the first round of the SEC tournament. That's going to be a game they can't lose either.
Right.
I think they can go ahead and they might be able to just put themselves in if they beat Xavier, Tennessee, and Vandy.
Yeah, no,
if they
I
could just
completely
win those
agree.
Three games.
Right.
Like, I would circle those three as being the big ones where if they can win all three of those, they're looking pretty good.
Even if they drop, like, an at Georgia or
yeah,
Auburn at home?
Yeah, if they drop one of those two. I think you can't
right.
lose both of those,
okay.
but if they only drop
okay.
one, let's say they go into Georgia, Georgia plays tough, Trey Tompkins scores, like, 40 points, and they lose. Like, I think you can get away with that if you beat Xavier, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt going out.
Yeah, because that's going to be several signature wins, and even with splitting the 1-1, those two games, that's still 10 conference wins. I mean, it's still just a number. It's in a vacuum. But
it's Vanderbilt
yeah,
and
it's
Tennessee.
Big signature wins.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, again, teams that you're possibly
competing
with.
It.
So,
exactly.
four at-large bids. So, yeah, that would be huge for them.
Mm. All right, anything more about Florida? Anything else you want to say?
I will say also an interesting note. This week, each year, the NCAA committee invites in writers from different publications to do, like, a mock selection bracket. Kind of teaches them about the selection process. Not that there's things that they don't know, but they just kind of walk it through. Essentially, the writers are the selection committee. They're currently up in Indianapolis doing it again this year. I found it interesting. And they throw a lot of factors at them. A couple things to keep in mind is that it's based on records through today, obviously. They're not projecting. It's like as if the committee was meeting today. And also, what the NCAA staff does is to throw some quirks. They pick who wins the conference tournaments. And so occasionally they'll throw in some oddballs so that you realize how it affects the at-large pool. But what was interesting is one of the writers was on Twitter kind of updating what was going on with the selection process. And what they do is they select them all and then they seed them all. And this morning, they started yesterday, Thursday, and they're wrapping up the selection process Friday morning. And Florida was actually literally the last team in or first team out based on – they had Virginia meeting Duke in the ACC tournament final, and obviously Virginia
sure.
not in the at-large pool.
Right.
So if Duke wins, Florida would be in their mock tournament, and if Virginia won, then Florida would be out, but it hadn't been announced yet. They like space them out as if it's Selection Sunday.
They couldn't have picked a better oddball than Virginia over Duke.
I don't know. I didn't keep track of all the oddballs to know how much this messes up, but what I did find interesting...
And we've got like Portland over Gonzaga or something like that.
Something crazy.
I think they did. I mean, I think they did pick some other oddballs. But what was interesting, because even based on all the oddballs, they had eight teams left. I don't remember all eight, but they had to narrow it to four. Florida ended up being fourth out of those eight. The three that made it in before Florida, so they were definitely in St. Mary's, Charlotte, and USF. I find it pretty shocking. I'm all for the Bulls, but I don't think the Bulls make it over the Gators today. Like, that selection committee is kind of outrageous.
Right. No, I agree with that.
I can't decide if that's a very cool thing or just a tremendous waste of time. This like, let's all compete in Indy and like, hey guys, let's just party up in Indy. Like, let's lay out the bracket. Like, what's the?
I find it really interesting. I don't know. I mean, like living in the, you know, it kind of puts one of those like for everyone who criticizes the committee, like, look, this is really hard for
yeah,
you.
And
it just kind of gives you like an in-depth way of looking at things, because what they also do is they formulate the reports that the selection committee makes that has that day, like
right.
of the info they have, the things that don't matter. One of the things
it's like the model UN.
Yeah, no, I mean it's not really like to make a bracket. It's really just to go through the process. One of the things that they stressed this year specifically that they've said was a factor in the past, but is not a factor, which I kind of completely agree with, is the whole last 10, last 12 thing. They're not even including like you know the last 10 record or the last 12 record.
Interesting.
Because yeah, I mean. You can see both sides of the coin because you want like a hot team in the tournament. But the truth is, the way conference schedules work, you really shaft teams.
Yeah.
For instance, kind of like Florida. Florida's schedule at the end is kind of tougher than probably somebody else's just because of the way it worked out. So to pick a team or at least have a factor be how they're playing at the very end. I like choosing based on how they're playing at the end, but you have to look at who they're playing, not just a record.
Yeah.
I don't like choosing by how hot they are at the end at all.
Right.
Like, I understand that.
That's why they're taking it out. They agree with
that. Yeah, I understand like somewhat logic before, but the games that you play at the beginning of the year should count just as much as the games you play at the end. Now, I would certainly not make the argument that teams are the same team that they were from game one to game 32 or however many games they're playing, but you can't. I just don't think you can pull that off.
Right.
It's not okay.
It's like, why bother playing the beginning
exactly.
of the year? It's like, if it's a compilation of what you do the entire season. Right. Why bother scheduling good teams like Michigan State at the beginning of the year if it's not going to matter at the end?
When did they do this mock thing? When did they come out with this?
It was yesterday through today.
Okay, so yesterday or today?
Yeah.
South Florida is 5-6 in conference with no out-of-conference signature wins.
No,
they've beaten Georgetown in conference.
Right.
Everybody's really hot on
USF. It's just everybody
USF
getting on the buzz.
This is unbelievable, though. But for a 5-6 team in the Big East, they're what place? Are they in? Eighth?
Can count down there. Six.
They're ninth. They're ninth place.
Hey, man, nine Big East teams in this tournament. USF is one of them, according to this.
All right.
Another great argument for expansion.
Yeah.
That's a lot of sarcasm there.
They're talking about expansion.
Jeez. You might throw that there in the end. Do you want to talk about the SEC?
Sure.
Speaking of conferences.
I'd love to talk about
no conference I love more. Honestly, everybody pretty much agrees except for some alterations in seeding.
Yeah.
ESPN, SI, and Fox all have five SEC teams making the field right now. Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Florida. Some notable things, I guess. Fox has Florida up to a 7th seed, as we mentioned, by the time it rolls around to the tournament.
I think Fox isn't going undefeated in the last 7 games.
All the projections have Kentucky as a 1 seed right now. And Ole Miss is currently – Ole Miss and Florida are really on the cusp of falling out in ESPN's bracket.
Yeah, that's why that game against Ole Miss, getting a win there, would be very important on the road, especially also knocking Ole Miss out of there, because it's like – I think Gottlieb said it at one point – like, the SEC is so top-heavy that you have to prove you're in the top 4 or 5 of the conference to even have a chance. Mm-hmm. When you're looking at the SEC and you see, well, Florida's the 6th best team in a conference that has 4 or 5 good teams, like, what's the point of putting them in the tournament?
Right. So. Well, I've got to give us a little bit of a pat on the back here. Before the season, we did a big mock projection, which I'd actually never tried to do before, so it was kind of entertaining. It was me, Kyle, and Bobby in a car back from some football road trip. But we had picked the field of 65, and we had 6 SEC teams getting in, the 5 that are in. And
Mississippi State.
I'm incorrect,
actually.
Oh,
no, yeah.
We did kind of mess up slightly.
take back that pat on the back, Bill.
Well, it was like half pat on the back.
Oh, wow. No.
We did not have Vanderbilt in the field. We had Mississippi State and
South Carolina.
So,
I think,
you know.
I talked that down on Vanderbilt so much at the beginning of the year. I feel so bad about that because they've been real good.
Who knew?
Yeah. I think I had Florida finishing above Vanderbilt.
They last year, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And that probably swayed.
And not a whole
bit.
Lot changed, so I figured, well, you know, they pretty much are what they are.
Yeah. Okay.
Turns out they weren't.
Well, I do think we haven't gotten to this part of the podcast yet, but we'll talk about teams we think might make a push or might play their way out of it. I think Mississippi State, I still have faith in them. I think they're going to make a push. They just beat Ole Miss, so that helps them as far as head-to-head because now they've beaten Ole Miss both times that they've played them. And their schedule going out is a lot of West teams that aren't so hot. So I think Mississippi State still can play their way into the tournament, have the one seed going into the tournament, play Georgia, and advance to the second round. So they're one of my teams I think might play their way in still.
Who have they beat? Like anything signature? Anything good?
Out of conference, we're talking about, I assume.
Yeah.
They beat Old Dominion, which we can laugh at, but they're actually competing for an at-large bid. They've beat Houston, who's mediocre. Mm. So no, I'd say they don't have any like absolute signature out-of-conference wins.
Right.
So they did not do too well out-of-conference.
In your mind, do you think Mississippi State would make a sixth SEC bid, or they would knock someone out of the five?
That's an excellent question, Phil.
You think if they beat Ole Miss twice, maybe they get...
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering.
I mean... What were the five teams that are in right now?
Kentucky, Vandy, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Florida.
No, yeah, I think they knock
Ole Miss
out. Ole Miss,
right?
I think it's going to be one of the two of them. Okay. So I would replace Ole Miss and Mississippi State going out, especially having beaten them twice head-to-head. We know that doesn't always work because Arizona State beat Arizona twice and seemingly had a better resume and couldn't get in the tournament. So sometimes it's about who has the bigger name. But we'll see what happens when it comes time to pick teams.
Yeah, on the east side of things, I would say the only one that really has a shot of fighting would be South Carolina.
Right.
They obviously didn't quite have the best out-of-conference schedule. I know they lost to Wofford. Not a very good loss.
Big loss.
But, I mean, they're just kind of fighting with Florida. South Carolina has the win over Kentucky. You know, Florida has wins over Michigan State and Florida State. South Carolina's out-of-conference not very good from the looks I'm seeing.
South Carolina beat USF. Let's make sure that's actually
it's not
South
like,
Florida.
Yeah.
And not San Francisco. Okay, it is South Florida. They also beat Western Kentucky, who is a decent team. They beat Richmond, who could be competing for an at-large bid. They do have bad losses to Wofford and to Miami and Baylor, two teams that are not very
really
good
BCS
teams. But not, you know, disastrous probably in their RPI ranking. And then they have the big win at Kentucky. So they're 5-4 right now. Mississippi State's 5-4 in conference. Both of those teams could be competing with each other, so it depends on how they finish out.
The thing
season.
Is,
and
South
they play each other.
Yeah, South Carolina's got a rough end of the schedule at Vanderbilt. Are they playing at Kentucky as well?
Yeah,
and Tennessee at home.
I almost want to say that they have to beat Kentucky again, as outrageous as it sounds.
Yeah.
Like you like need another signature win. You need to either win at Kentucky or at Vanderbilt.
But
I mean, anything you could tap in.
But they're also playing a lot of the teams that are on the bubble. So if they knock off Tennessee, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt, which is not easy to do, but if they knock off all three of those are three teams they're competing with.
And now they split with Florida 1-1.
Right.
So in that kind of head-to-head.
At Arkansas actually could be a tough game for them now that Fortson's back and playing like a baller.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they have
it's not an easy game, that's for sure.
I don't know if I'd see them getting in, but I just kind of want them to.
Agreed.
You just want to see Devin Downey
play.
Yeah,
I want to see Devin Downey in March Madness.
I like Muldrow, too, as a player.
How about Brandis Raley Ross? Dropped 20 the other night.
I don't think he's good.
No, he's not.
His percentage was the worst.
No, he's not good at all, but Florida just focused so much on Devin Downey that just anybody could have scored. I probably could have gone out there and scored 6 points.
Right.
Because they wouldn't have guarded me.
Well, that was their game plan, Barry.
No, exactly. Yeah, and it didn't work.
How'd that work out for them?
I believe the word was backfired that was used.
Well, anytime you commit 20 turnovers and shoot 44% from the line, you're not going to win many of those.
10 of 23.
Even if you shoot 56% from the field.
I want to talk about it.
That's fine. Rolling on, I guess, to the next segment, number one seeds.
Yep.
Our three projections, predictions, whatever, all have the same group of four: Kentucky, Kansas, Syracuse, and Villanova. I don't really have a problem with either of those. I'm not sure if I can think of anyone that could make a run up. My only possibility, because they're getting hot, I would say Georgetown. I could see it in the Big East tournament if, like, they go further than Villanova or Syracuse.
efficient way of getting both the teams' names out
I could
there.
See Georgetown taking one of the two Big East number ones. What do you think?
Who are the other two seeds on the ESPN prediction? I know you
two
got
seeds.
Right,
we got West Virginia, Georgetown.
Duke and Purdue,
yeah.
Okay, so I don't believe in Purdue, so I'm gonna write them off immediately.
Yeah. Right.
So they'll of course play their way into a one seed list. But I think Duke has a legitimate shot. If they continue to just run through the ACC, they could move into a one seed, especially if the Big East teams start beating up on each other.
Exactly.
But at the same time, you got four Big East teams right now with a one or a two projected on ESPN. So
somebody's
figure it out.
Get
it'll
it.
Play
yeah.
out the rest of the
all
season.
I want to know,
and we'll see who ends up emerging from that pool.
All I want on the record right now is if Georgetown doesn't completely collapse and Duke gets a one seed over Georgetown when Georgetown beat them by 30 points, I'm going to be outraged.
Don't worry about it, Phil.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that if they're in similar standing, that it would go to Georgetown. But, you know.
Nope.
Yeah.
See, all RPI.
The
Big East is about 400 times tougher than the ACC right now.
Yeah,
so.
I'm going to go ahead and say I think it's going to be Kentucky, Kansas, and two Big East teams. I feel very safe in saying that.
You feel the same way?
I feel pretty safe about the four they have right now, actually.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, that could definitely happen. I don't know.
All right, well, I'll
mix
it
up.
I'll say Kentucky and Kansas. We all feel good about that. Then I'm going to go with Villanova. That's just the Big East team I've liked the best since the start of the season. And I'm going to say Duke plays their way in as a result of the Big East teams all beating each other up. In the scheme of things, it doesn't really matter if you're a one or two. You won't see a one or two until the Lead Eight. So,
that's right. And if Duke's a one seed, it's a lock for the Eight to win. Calling it right now.
All right.
And well, Duke will not make the Sweet 16 from the one spot.
It's an early prediction from Phil.
Gator guarantee.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Dale, write that down.
Oh, man. We're doing that at the end of the show. We'll come back to that. All right. You want to move on from the top four? We're all good with that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those years where kind of like, I mean, there's maybe six or seven teams that are in the fight for the one seed, but like, it's not, I don't know, it seems kind of set in a way. Like,
where's Ohio State at right now?
They do have Evan Turner finally back.
They're 19-6. They're projected to be a four seed.
All right, so if I'm giving you one off-the-mat team that could play their way into a one, that I think I'm going to go with Ohio State. I really like Evan Turner. I predicted him to be the player of the year before the season started.
Yeah, you might hit that one.
He almost died, which would have been miserable for my chances. But
you have a tendency of doing that to people.
I thought, especially that was on the heels of all the football deaths of players I drafted for fantasy and such.
Oh, geez.
So, Evan Turner, thank God you're okay. And Ohio State's been playing well as of late. I think if they get hot and run the table in the tournament, they can play their way into a one seed.
He's so
also,
good.
He's kind incredible. Of in the head-to-head battle there, though. They did just lose at West Virginia. So just something to, you know, if they're in contention with them. I do actually really like Ohio State. I think depending
I
on matchups,
lose,
I like them.
To West Virginia, that's...
Oh, that was
five games ago?
I do apologize. Okay. Yeah, I could not
January.
See the W's below it.
Right, okay.
But last month they lost at West Virginia, right. A team that they might contend for once. I really like Ohio State, and I think they really just got hurt by Evan Turner's loss. Like, I mean, they're going to make the tournament, obviously, and all that. But, like, the record and sometimes their ranking, like, it just looks worse than it really should because Turner wasn't there.
Well, they might get some favor in the Patty Mills department where St. Mary's didn't last year, which is they're a different team with Evan Turner healthy than they are without him. And I actually, I don't know how much credence I lend to that, but I do lend a little bit. Like, if a team had losses, uncharacteristic losses, with their best player out, I cut them, it's not as bad of a loss.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree, because you're a different team. Like, and as long as the player's now back and like 100%, like, early in the season, I'm fine with that.
Stats and numbers can get you so far, but at some point you actually do have to look at the basketball being played and think, all right, well, this team is completely different. Like, this is a two seed with Evan Turner, but they're a whatever seed without him.
That's the point I was getting at. I think they might be underseeded, but that doesn't matter in the tournament. They're still going to play well.
Exactly. Yeah, and stats and numbers will take you very far in this, but obviously you are splitting hairs when it comes to
absolutely.
And Evan Turner's numbers right now, I'm just going to shout these out: 19.2 points, 9.3 rebounds, 5.7 assists per game.
He's almost as good as Chandler Parsons.
Almost. The kid's unbelievable. So.
Yeah, I mean, it could be interesting to see what they do in the Big Ten tournament. Will they play Michigan State and Purdue probably down that road?
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about some of the other teams on the bubble. Some of the, maybe the last four in, first four out types. What you got, Phil?
All right. Well, we'll go with ESPN's. Well, it'll be interesting to see both. ESPN, which just updated today, has the last four in of Oklahoma State, Charlotte, Ole Miss, and Marquette, and a first four out of Virginia Tech, Virginia, Louisville, and Cincinnati. And then looking at Fox, which I think is a good tool because they're predicting Selection Sunday, they have a last they have a last four in of also Oklahoma State, Louisville, Illinois, and St. Mary's, with the first four out of Dayton, which would break Kyle's heart, Cincinnati, Wichita State, and South Florida. Some quick initial impressions, I will say, looking at Fox's, I don't think Louisville is going to end up making it in. I definitely agree that South Florida doesn't. I think Dayton will. Oklahoma State, I really don't have much of a read on.
No.
I don't think – I'm just looking
at
the pool teams.
I'm about to bring up Oklahoma State because I have no read on that. All right,
great.
So let's try to get a read here.
Okay. Ole Miss with the last four in on ESPN. I mean, that's kind of how they're playing now. I think they'll be at least five SEC teams in. I don't see it going down to four bids. I just think somebody else could take their bid.
All right. Oklahoma State is 4-5 in the Big 12 in a tie with Texas Tech and Oklahoma for 7th place. Teams in front of them include Baylor and Texas A&M and Missouri, teams that, you know, most likely won't get in. So I don't know if I can jump on this Oklahoma State bandwagon. They're out of conference. They beat absolutely no one. They have, like, a win against Stanford and Utah would be their best two, and both those teams are jokes. They've lost to URI out of conference. And then in conference, they beat Kansas State. That's got to be what people are looking at.
That and the Texas A&M, and then Texas Tech is, like, a pretty good win, according to the RPI and all that stuff. Right. And they don't have any, quote-unquote, bad losses, like RPI 100-plus team.
That's true. Tulsa is a mediocre team.
Right.
So I'm going to say they don't get in, though. I'm going to jump
on the eventually, yeah, eventually people realize, like, hey, why put this team in? They beat nobody out of conference. There's not a whole lot of exciting. They're not great in their conference. Yeah, I don't think they make it either. It's a good call.
Other teams on that list, I already said, I think Mississippi State will play out, will replace Ole Miss, likely, as a team that gets in. I can't be rational at all about Dayton. What I am going to say is that they're coming off two 25-point blowouts of Xavier and Charlotte back-to-back and have won three in a row in their conference. So they seem to be heating up right now. And could make a push in the A-10, which is a really good conference this year, and will probably get four bids if I had to guess right now. Other teams on that list, St. Mary's, I was going to talk about them as a team I think might move out of the field, because if you look at their record, it's really impressive. They're 21-4, but their out-of-conference work, their best wins came against Oregon and Cal, the Pac-10 being miserable, Oregon and Cal certainly included in those miserable teams. So they don't really have a signature out-of-conference win. And then the thing that kills them the most, in my opinion, they just lost to Gonzaga last night. That makes two losses now to Gonzaga. They're 0-2 against easily the best team in their conference. So if they don't win their conference tournament, even if they only have four losses, I don't know if they did enough to get in. I don't feel like that league's a good league. There's three teams that have a pulse, Portland being the other one. So I just don't know if I would put them in with an at-large.
No wins against top 25 RPI teams, only two against 26-50 San Diego State and at Utah State, which that's not getting you in the tournament.
Yeah.
They just have beaten no good teams, I feel like. I don't know how you guys
they
feel.
Seem they're, like one they're of those surviving with a good record. Where like a slightly possibly less good major conference team might make it in, just like, I don't know, the ninth Big East team or something. I'm just talking numbers, but like something one of those or like the fifth A-10 team, because that's a really good league this year. I see one of those happening over St. Mary's unless they do something crazy in the WCC.
Which, honestly, I'm all for. I mean, yeah. I'm not for putting in the big conference teams over little conference teams if the little conference teams prove that they can beat someone. Right. But St. Mary's hasn't proven that they can beat someone. They just would have knocked off Gonzaga one time.
Right.
Then you could make an argument for them. But they lost to Gonzaga both times, and they got handled pretty much last night. I don't think it was that close. So I just can't see them getting in. I mean, I can see them getting in. I can't see justifying putting them in, though, at this point.
They lost by 19 to Gonzaga.
19,
So, and then 7 to them at home. So that's...
They're a decent team that should be on the bubble, and I wouldn't put in. That's how.
And they lost. Is that by 2 to Vanderbilt at home? That'd probably be a nice signature win that they would have liked to have.
Vanderbilt. That might be neutral. I'm not sure.
Oh
no, neutral has the versus, so it was at home.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean, everything's hindsight, but that probably would have been a nice little win for them.
Right. Absolutely.
I don't know. I think the bubble, as it always does, will clarify a little bit more as we go a couple weeks down, because there's definitely going to be some teams that play their way out. like, as we were talking about the buzz about USF, I don't think they can really sustain that. I mean, not that they're in now, but they're one of those teams that are being buzzed about that I think won't even be close to being buzzed about in a little bit.
I agree.
I think Louisville will play their way out. I think they're getting ready to hit a slide. It's kind of just a hunch. I don't have anything really crazy on it, but they did just lose at St. John's really badly. And I think this Rick Pitino rumor stuff, I think that matters sometimes and just kind of distractions.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and take the other side of that. Louisville. I actually like Louisville. I'm not sure why, but I say that they're going to play their way in. Non-conference, they didn't help themselves, really. They beat Arkansas in a neutral court. Not a bad win. They beat Western Kentucky at home. They beat that's really it. And then they had some losses to Charlotte and UNLV, a couple teams that could get at large from the smaller conferences. In conference, they're 6-5 in the Big East so far. They had won 3 of 4 and then got killed by St. John's at St. John's. Their biggest problem looks like to me right now, their road victories are miserable. Their only road conference victory right now is against Providence. So they have a chance to go at the end of the schedule to Connecticut and to Marquette and pick up a couple road victories. So if they can do that, they can make a case for themselves.
They do also, as I saw, have two games remaining against Syracuse. Winning one of those would be a very nice quality win.
That's right. Two against Syracuse and one against Georgetown. So they have probably the opportunity, need one of those three. And we'll see if they're good enough to do it. So
Big East tournament is always really ridiculous, too. So I guess anybody can make a run.
Right.
All right, now we're going to revisit the initial projection you guys made about 3 months ago on that road trip to possibly to or from South Carolina. You're going to talk about what you guys did and then maybe make some comments on it that we see now in hindsight.
Yeah.
Bill?
All right, well, first, to quickly, I'm going to run through all the leagues that we believe will be one bid, just so we kind of get those out of the way. The SWAC, the Ohio Valley, the Southland, Big South, MEAC, Northeast, Atlantic Sun, America East, Ivy, Big Sky, Patriot, Summit, Mid-American, Big West, Southern, Sun Belt, MAC, and the WAC, and the Horizon, and the West Coast.
There's also another one bid.
A notable one bid.
And notable.
And Missouri Valley and
not that
Pac-10.
One. There you go.
I know. Well, I was leaving kind of major conference, but yeah, they're only going to get one because Pac-10 is terrible.
How many did you predict before the season for the Pac-10?
Five.
We predicted five. Yeah. So that was slightly off.
And what I was reading, too, that's upsetting, is, well, depending on where you stand, upsetting for the Pac-10, is that the one team that can actually earn an at-large, is capable of earning an at-large at this point, is USC,
who is
self-sanctioned and not allowed to make the postseason this year and won't be getting in anytime
really
soon.
Really just kicking them while they're down at this point.
Yeah. So. All right. Now running through, we're going to look back at the prediction that we made back in November 15th, and look at what we got 3 months later.
Real quick, before we move on, of those one-bid leagues, teams that we think are capable of carrying to if a conference winner gets weird, a conference tournament winner. So that'd be like Gonzaga, Butler,
Utah State.
Probably not.
So, Northern Iowa.
I think definitely could. And then in the Missouri Valley. And then we said potentially Cornell. There's no conference
the
tournament
Ivy League
there.
Situation.
Right. They
don't lose the bid.
Because Harvard plays them coming up here soon.
Harvard is actually two games back, I think. It could be Princeton that's a game back that could knock them out.
Okay.
Harvard actually earlier in the season we were talking about possibly as an at-large, but then they just kind of fell off the wayside.
Well, they got the SI feature about them. Everything was very high, and then it all came crashing down.
Well, of course. SI jinx. That works every time. All right, going to the big conferences. The Big Ten for the season. We said they'd get five teams. We still agree that there'd be five teams, although it will be a different team. We still believe Ohio State, Michigan State, Purdue, and Illinois will make it.
Right.
But we had Michigan before the season. Now we're saying Wisconsin is the fifth team.
Agreed. Everyone agrees there.
Yeah, I think that one we're in unison on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Going to the Big 12. Before the season, we said six. Now we say five. We still believe Kansas, Mizzou, Texas, and Kansas State will make it. We had Oklahoma and Oklahoma State before the season. My fifth team is Texas A&M. Were we in agreement on that?
We were.
In the ACC, we had six teams before the season. We now believe that they will get five bids.
Common theme among the major conferences.
We still believe that Duke, Georgetown, and Wake Forest will be in. That's three of our five. We also believe Maryland will be in. That's four.
But we didn't have Maryland preseason.
We did not have Maryland preseason. Preseason, we had UNC. They're definitely not making it.
No.
And then FSU and VTU, which are on the bubble. We each had a fifth ACC team. I went FSU.
I said UVA.
I believe I said Virginia as well. Yeah. Okay. FSU is an interesting one. They could sneak in there.
I can see them in there, too.
I think ESPN has them in there, definitely.
I just want to make a note on the North Carolina situation. What I was saying before is I was really down on North Carolina coming into the year, but I was like, obviously, I read all the preseason stuff because I love college basketball and I'd like to educate myself. And every poll have them, like, at three in the country, or four.
Right.
And so, naturally, I was like, all right, well, these guys are getting paid to do their job, and they must know something that I don't, because I honestly, I can't name you their whole 10-man rotation or whatever. And turns out, they didn't know anything that we didn't, and we ended up being high on North Carolina for no reason. So, kind of the pitfalls of reading stuff from other people instead of just doing your own work. Not that we have the time or resources, necessarily, to do
it. Yeah, no, we'll hit on that. It's one thing. Like, when we were going through this, there was obviously some leagues we didn't know about. We tried to read a little bit. It's one thing, like, we have some guts. We have some things that we think. But when something's so outrageous, like you said, like, UNC was ranked third in the preseason. Right. Like, we don't think that writers can get so wrong. You know, it's like, we might have thought a bottom, the last five or the top 25 might not be good.
Right.
But we're not going to disagree wholeheartedly with, like, something that's so certain in everybody's mind.
Exactly. And that's the thing, too, with, like, a Washington and a Cal. Where it's like, I do think Washington really underachieved because I also thought Washington was going to be very good.
Yeah.
But Cal is a team I didn't know too much about. They were ranked top 15 in pretty much every poll. And it's like, all right, well, Cal must be good.
Right.
So it really just makes you question these guys who get paid a fat check to make these, you know, preseason predictions. So I don't really know what they're doing. But anyway, they're doing the best they can. And who knows if we
will
do any better.
We'll hit that later. Yeah, because at the end, we're going to kind of go through with our biggest misses and hits, and that'll be fun.
Okay.
All right, moving on to the Big East. We had seven before the season, and we still think it'll be seven now. The three that we had before the season that we believe will still make it are Georgetown, Villanova, and West Virginia. Before the season, we had also had Louisville, Notre Dame, St. John's, and UConn. Don't think any of those will make it, or at least we're in disagreement about those. We had the three that we thought. We think Syracuse is definitely in for number four. Pitt, do we all agree on Pitt?
We all agree on Pitt,
so that's five. And then we were in disagreement in the last two.
Okay.
My last two, I believe, will be Marquette and Cincinnati.
Okay, so never mind. We agree on Marquette. Okay.
I was going to say, I had Marquette.
So the seventh team we're in disagreement
you
on.
You and I agreed. Louisville.
Yes. They think Louisville. I think Louisville is going to go on a slide, so I went Cincinnati. I kind of like Notre Dame, but they kind of underachieve. I don't think USF is going to be able to continue as they're going to fall out.
Right.
Although USF is going to get back a key player, Gus Gilchrist, very sometime soon. Could pull off a couple more upsets, but I don't think they'll get in. But we had seven overall from the Big East. In the SEC, we had six before the year. We got five now. We were right on Kentucky.
He's right in quotations.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah, right in. We still believe it now, 3 months later.
No, we were right.
on Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida, we missed on Vandy. So we all agree on those four. And then the fifth team we were in a little disagreement on. Just so we know, before the season, we had Miss State, South Carolina, and Ole Miss. I still believe Ole Miss will make it as a fifth team.
Kyle? I'm going to go with Mississippi State.
I'll say Mississippi State as well.
Mississippi State, okay. But we think five bids out of the SEC. We'll kind of hit on that later, how they might possibly get a sixth.
Right.
Pac-10, as we mentioned, one big league. The Mountain West, we had it as a one bid heading into the season with BYU. We now believe we'll get three bids, adding in New Mexico and UNLV.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Conference USA, we has one big with Memphis, as it had been the last 6 years or so. But now we believe it'll be two. I had UTEP and Tulsa. I don't know if we're in agreement.
I'm going to go UTEP-Memphis.
Okay.
I'm going to be stubborn.
I had UTEP-Tulsa as well.
Yeah, Memphis, I remember watching. They played a lot of big out-of-conference games. They just didn't win, but the experience could help as they go on here.
Yeah.
Going to the Atlantic 10, which has been one of the best conferences this season, we had three going into the season. We now believe five. We do believe our three preseason will still make it, Dayton, Xavier, and Charlotte, but we are adding Richmond and Temple. We are in agreement.
Yep.
In surprising fashion, there has been some projections that have at times six teams. We're not saying that'll happen, but just to show you how ridiculous RPI is, Rhode Island is the 19th team. We don't have them in.
I can't, yeah. I can't think that one of those teams doesn't slide out and play their way out. So
yeah, oh yeah. Kyle, you kind of think it's going to be four, right, or something?
No. I'm okay with five. I would go four over six.
Okay.
But
okay.
I don't know. That
it's definitely possible. I think right. They could beat each other up and that kind of thing. The Missouri Valley, we already hit. The rest of them we really hit. Just as we said. Yeah,
Colonial's
the
last one.
The Colonial. We had two bids. Old Dominion and VCU is what I have written.
Right.
Yeah, where we're going?
I think Jordan Mason is going to replace VCU.
Oh,
right
I think VCU's out.
Yeah, I don't remember. They're about 9-5 in conference. Yeah, they just lost to George Mason, so I'm going to put them out. But they're really talented, and they could definitely be a team that wins their tournament.
Pushes, gets
an automatic bid. Oddly enough, Northeastern is currently in first place in that conference.
That's right. That's what it was. Right.
I know nothing about Northeastern. I'm totally honest with everyone, but I just can't believe that Northeastern's gonna hold on to that spot.
I don't either. So as we said, if you added up everything that we just said, which you probably don't want to listen back to what I said ever again, that was 61 teams. Of course, you know the field's 65. So what would technically be left is our last four in. But of course, it's very likely that there'll be some upsets, so some at-large bids will go to teams that we thought were going to win the conference.
Right.
But we have four bids left. I would say if there is one bid going to a major conference, it will be the 8th Big East team. I know you disagree with me, Kyle.
Yeah, I think it'll go to the 6th SEC first over the 8th Big East for reasons previously stated on this podcast.
Right.
So.
If I had to pick, I'd go with the 8th Big East as well. I think I like the idea of getting 6 SEC teams in there. I just think it's going to be one of those teams from the West. It's going to be like an Ole Miss it's pretty much going to have to be Ole Miss, and I couldn't sleep having 2 SEC West teams in the tournament.
Yeah, I actually, when I was looking at the last four, I think if I put it at 2 upsets, I would say it would be the 8th Big East and the 6th SEC. And I think, crazy enough, I don't know if it happened, what I would like to happen / could happen is if the 6th SEC team was a 5th East team. So South Carolina made it in, right, and one of the Mississippis made it in. I just don't think both Mississippis are worthy of the tournament, although they very well might make it.
I'm going to say I don't want to be a dick here at all, and like it's just my opinion versus yours.
Yeah,
mine's no better than yours. I just think there's no way the Big East gets eight. I'm just going to be honest.
No, that's fine.
I think I would even go as far as like a 6th Big 12 team or something before that, or like maybe somewhere else on the board. I just don't.
Yeah,
I feel like there are too many teams in the Big East right now that are kind of like at mediocre, and I think one will emerge to take the 7th spot, and I don't know if two will. So.
What do you think is more outrageous, 6-8-10 or 8 Big East?
That's pretty close for me. Both in the I don't think it will happen department for me. So I put about the same likeliness if I'm going to rank it.
Yeah, no problem. Going back in funny fashion to we had ranked 1 to 65 before the season, just some kind of overall things we did well and not well. We did pretty good at the top. We had Kansas 1, Kentucky 2, Villanova 3. Those are all
not
still
bad.
Fine for one seed.
Not bad.
We had 4 Texas. They're not quite that good. We had 5 Michigan State. They're kind of around there. 6 West Virginia set and 7 Duke. You
pretty
know.
Good on that.
Yeah, we were pretty solid.
Not a
no.
bad class.
8 UNC. We obviously.
Whoops.
Yeah.
So you can see we fought it a little
right,
bit.
Yeah, we wanted to push it down.
Right,
yeah.
We just couldn't do it.
9 Purdue. They're obviously still around. 10 Cal, once
Whoops.
Again. Yeah, it was one of those where I didn't think the best Pac-10 team could be so bad,
right.
One of the things.
I just figured they're beating up on the conference enough they'd get up there with enough
Yeah,
players,
exactly. I thought there'd at least be one really good Pac-10 team. Silly me.
Nope.
11 Tennessee. You know, without Tyler Smith, I think they'd be even much better than they are, but they're still up there.
Right.
12 Butler. That's probably a little high for them. Again, Washington, we had 13. I definitely would agree with you that they underperformed. 14, we had Mississippi State. That's a bit of a...
Everyone was high on them preseason.
Yeah.
And they...
Oh, look at that. Tennessee right now is 12th. God.
Yeah. Butler's 18, so you
okay.
weren't like...
Yeah, we weren't completely off.
Egregiously off, yeah.
15th, Michigan. That was a swing and a
Whoops.
Miss. Yeah. I thought... what's his name? Is it Sims? I thought he'd be able to carry them a little bit more. That was just my thinking. We had Dayton at 16, which I think they're as good... Kyle, I know, sways me on this. I think Dayton actually could be a Sweet 16 team. They've struggled, so like their ranking and their record isn't good, but they can beat good teams.
Yeah, they've definitely shown they can beat good teams. So it depends. I'm frustrated as like a – I say I'm a fan, but like I pick them up as like
right,
a team
right.
I follow closely and try to root for. And like they're just really frustrating. Like they'll lose a game they shouldn't, and then they beat – a really good – they beat bubble teams by 25 points. Yeah. So right. Who knows?
Well, yeah, I remember they were in the preseason top 25, and then right. they just lost – you know, it was one of those – once you got out of the rankings, sometimes it's hard to get
exactly.
back in.
And they beat Georgia Tech preseason. And
right.
they played Kansas State and Villanova close.
Very close. Yeah, it was down in Bahamas, I think. Right. I remember following those games. We had 17 GT. They're still in it. They're 20th. Great. 18 UConn. I'll take a little bit of the blame of that. I think I was pushing UConn. I kind of think the loss of Coach Calhoun. God, his name just flew out of my head. They went 3-4 in his absence.
Right.
And they kind of, I don't know. Dyson just, I mean, they played Syracuse really close the other night. UConn can play. I don't think they'll make it in unless they make a run in the tournament, obviously.
Agreed.
19 Oklahoma. Everyone was high on Oklahoma. You kind of thought they weren't going to be good, if
right.
I remember correctly. You got that right.
The big thing with Oklahoma was, like, everyone had Willie Warren as a Player of the Year candidate. People predicted Willie Warren to win
yeah.
Player
no,
of the Year.
No, I remember
And
this.
I couldn't have thought that was more ridiculous.
Right.
So that was kind of my thinking. I thought they would still be good enough to make the tournament, but
right.
it doesn't look like they are. So.
No. Yeah, I remember even early in the season, they just got beat by teams they shouldn't have lost to. 20, we had Ohio State. They're
13.
Pretty much
significantly
yeah, like,
better than that.
Yeah.
Say,
I'll admit I didn't realize at how good Evan Turner was going to be.
Me either.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Evan Turner was going to be like a
good,
come
yeah.
from behind player of the year
right.
candidate,
yeah,
not
yeah.
like the front runner. So.
Right. 21 Georgetown, they're actually doing much better than that. I've actually been surprised. I mean, like, I thought Georgetown would be good. I've been, like, pleasantly surprised. They're playing really well.
Yeah.
Georgetown, scorched everyone last year, and that's why we had them so low, I think. Because, like, last year, they had the same roster with the same talent that
yeah.
you like and just played as bad as humanly possible. So I think we're a little gun-shy on them.
Yeah.
They put it together this
year. Definitely.
So.
22 Notre Dame, I thought Luke Kerengoti could do things for them. I mean, he's still doing really good. They just seemingly have nobody around him.
Right.
23 Xavier. I couldn't really tell you what's going on with Xavier. Also, is that Baylor in the top 25?
24.
All right. Well, I'm going to say maybe the sixth Big 12 team may be very possible, Kyle.
Yeah. I mean,
that was a bit of a swing and miss.
I don't think for sure that they will.
Right.
Baylor's not even that good, though. Like, I don't know. Don't worry about that.
I know. Okay.
It's
all
not
right.
that big of a deal.
24 Missouri. I don't know. Like, they're in the Big 12. Things
like
are happening.
Two games ahead of Baylor in the Big 12. And Baylor's ranked in front of them?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Let me bring up the
well
okay.
ahead of them, yeah.
Well, go ahead to the next.
Yeah, we're going to roll on. 25 Louisville. Obviously, I'm more down on them now. Kyle thinks they'll still make the tournament, although I don't think anyone would say they're the 25th team in the country. But
no,
I couldn't really tell you what's happened with Louisville. I don't know. Edgar Sosa, I really like him. But, like, what happened to Louisville? I don't know. I thought they'd be better than they are.
They lost a lot of talent, man. They lost Terrence
Williams
they did. And what's his face? Earl Clark.
They still
too.
Have Samuels,
Clark,
too. Guys. Sosa and Samuels.
No, they still have talent, but they lost two lottery guys. I mean,
yeah,
that's not
that
ever
hurts.
Easy to replace unless you're Syracuse. So,
right. Syracuse is great. We. Anyway.
I'm looking
ahead.
At Baylor
yeah.
Right now. Out of conference, they did absolutely nothing. They beat Arkansas at Arkansas, so that's a good win for them. That's it. Oh, and they beat South Carolina at South Carolina, so I shouldn't
yeah,
say
that.
They didn't do absolutely nothing.
They did win at Texas.
They've won in conference. They won at Texas.
They lose at Colorado, though.
Yeah, they've lost at Colorado. They've lost at Texas A&M, who we have as our 15.
Okay.
They've lost to Alabama on a neutral court
wow.
out of conference.
That is the
and team. Right now they're 5-4 in the Big 12. Missouri's 6-3.
Yeah.
So
they did beat Xavier also.
Oh,
one other win,
right.
game
Xavier
to look at.
So,
yeah, so I guess maybe I missed them as a possible bubble team. Don't think they should be ranked 24th.
Yeah.
26 Wake Forest. Wake Forest is decent in the ACC this year. They're in the mix. We have them in the tournament.
How deep are you going?
Yeah, I was
going to
say, are we doing 65
here? I thought you were going top 25.
Oh, I apologize. I had nothing in
anything
mind.
Notable in the
yeah,
in the rest
okay.
of
we
them.
Could
yeah,
say
let's take
we
a
had some Pac-10. We had Florida at 38. That might have been a little high. And
high?
I'll just, yeah.
38?
Yeah.
I think if you ranked them out 1 through 38, they'd be right there, if not higher.
All
right.
No?
Florida is not receiving votes in the AP poll.
Well,
that's
I mean,
fine.
That poll is kind of ridiculous.
There's like 10 probably teams receiving votes. I think they're right about 38.
They're in the top 40 mix.
Okay.
The problem is that there's some of those teams from like 30 to 40, 25 to 40, even that's kind of like you just throw them in a hat and
yeah,
pull them out.
Pull, exactly. I agree with that completely.
We kind of knew Cornell would be good. We had them at 30. Kansas State, we had 35. They turned out to be a little bit better. And Syracuse, we did not make our field. I've ranted enough on that off the air. All I will say is that I fought for Syracuse's inclusion in the bracket. and I was voted out.
Bill fought adamantly for Syracuse's inclusion in the bracket. I will say the logic at the time was I asked Phil to name, I think, 3 or 4 players on the roster. He couldn't do it. And they had just lost to Lemoyne.
Division 2 Lemoyne.
Was it a preseason game?
Yeah, I didn't count yet.
So that was the information we were rolling with. We knew they were replacing all kinds of talent that had just left. And none of us knew who Wesley Johnson was. Yeah. So Wesley Johnson, obviously the Iowa State transfer, who's just been great for them. We missed completely on Syracuse for an assortment of reasons, but Phil did fight very hard for them.
He was pretty much off the radar. If you told me he was going to be averaging 16.1 points, 8.8 rebounds right now, I'd tell you crazy. I wouldn't have even known he was. Iowa State transfer. Yeah.
First.
It is really ridiculous, I will say, because, that Lemoyne thing happened. I was like, wow, that's really rough. But their two losses are Lemoyne and Pitt. That's it. That's all I've lost to all year. So I don't remember. They may have been missing one person for Lemoyne. That's not really an excuse. Yeah. Stupid things happen, I guess, in exhibition games.
They're a very good team. Like, I'm certainly not trying to argue against them now. I'm just trying to give our reasoning, mine and Bobby's, at the time. And
I'm only gloating because I'm very, very, very rarely actually right in any of these things where I think a team's going to be good.
And they're very good. Yep. And one thing I will say for them is that they really play together as a team very, very well.
Yeah.
They're not a collection of individual talents or one or two guys like carrying the team. They really have they play together as a team, both on offense and on defense. Is that 6 guys averaging 9.4 points or more? Yeah. So the scoring
and then 8.1, 6.5.
It's pretty rough. And that zone, when you run the zone well and you have the long guys, because they have long guards, big tall guards. Yeah. And it works really well. I think they're gonna obviously they're gonna go far. They're highly ranked. But I wish I would have put some kind of money where my mouth was, but that's just the way it goes, I guess.
It helps when Rick Jackson can turn into Wilt Chamberlain for about a half against Florida when you need him to.
Just box him out. He literally has no move other than catching a rebound.
He has one hand and a box out. That's all he had.
It's really ridiculous.
All right, so Syracuse is the team we whiffed most on. Not Phil, but sadly you're part of our collective here at Alligator Sports, unfortunately for you. What did we do the best with, do we think, as far as...
Our opening 12 was pretty hot. Our only miss in our opening UNC, 12 was UNC,
which I blame everyone else for. I take no personal responsibility.
I'll actually give Kyle credit. I'm pretty sure you were fighting it down, possibly even more than
I think. I wanted GT in front of them. Also, it's from the ACC. Chance. So
I think the whole top 12 is very impressive. Yeah, I think the top 3 are 3 of the top 4. So.
Yeah. Texas bothers me. I feel like they've underachieved. They should be better than they are. I think I had Texas in my opening Final Four before the season.
And teams, we did a decent job on. I think Cornell, we kind of had them pay.
Yeah, we had them at 30, which is much higher than a lot of people had. Yeah, absolutely. Team. Nice.
So I think we did a reasonable job. We had some swings and misses, no worse than the people who do this for a lot more money than we do. So I think we did an okay job.
All right, and before we round the show out with our Gator Guarantees, let's talk a little bit about Florida and how they've been playing recently instead of looking forward. Obviously, the Xavier game, what are we expecting out of them this weekend?
I expect them to win. I actually think they will get a win at home. I don't think Xavier's great. Jordan Crawford's a really good player, the kid who dunked on LeBron. He's
supposed to be the dunk advance.
He put together a really nice season for them. But I just think Florida's a tough home team, and I think that they're going to beat Xavier this weekend. I think they've been playing well enough at home to really carry them through. So
I think the South Carolina, they made a lot of stupid mental mistakes that generally they're not going to make, especially at home. I think Xavier's not particularly well balanced, so Florida's not going to have to stop a bunch of people. I think they'll be fine.
Florida's getting back to the realm to me where I don't really know what I'm going to get from them day in and day out. So I don't think they'll blow out Xavier. I don't think Xavier will blow out them, but I could actually see it really going either way. That's a pretty not – I know it's not really committing to anything, but I really – I do think – I agree that Florida plays well at home, but I could see them losing, winning.
Yeah, and the problem with Florida right now is there's zero depth. Mm. The depth is as bad as it can be. Their starting five are all capable players, all pretty good. Even Vernon Macklin, who I don't think is very good, he's not necessarily. He's not. Yeah. He. It's not that he shouldn't see minutes. He's decent. He'll give you some production. But after that, they have literally nobody giving them any quality minutes. So.
Right. Exactly. I mean, that's only going to continue to wear down on them as the season goes on.
Right. Well, once you move Chandler Parsons in the starting lineup, then Dan Werner is pretty much your sixth man, and as has been well documented around here lately, he's pretty much useless in terms of
that's
production.
That's not much of a – you're not really injecting much into your team when you throw Dan Moore
That was
out
the thing
there.
That Parsons did is when you brought him off the bench, he was sort of – he was some energy and everything. But the funny thing, you mentioned Macklin. He only plays like 20 – barely over 20 minutes a game. So when you look at him, he can be productive. You're playing him barely 20 minutes a game and not even for foul trouble necessarily. And, you know, you're plugging Dan Werner into that spot.
Yeah, I couldn't explain why Dan Werner's on the court at the end in some games.
That's the worst part of it. If you watch the South Carolina game, Dan Werner played – all the crunch time minutes.
Right.
And, like, again, like, I've the column that I wrote was met with mixed reviews depending on what side of the fence you stand on. University, people were not too happy with me. But, like, Dan Werner has been as bad as you could possibly be, in my opinion. I mean, I guess he could just let somebody score on him every time down, too. But, like, he's not rebounding. He's not scoring at all. He's not even drawing the rim on most of his shots. He's giving you pretty much nothing out there. Like, at best, he's indifferent when he's on the court. And it's really unbelievable to watch a kid who is a senior average 3 points and three rebounds in SEC play and play 25 minutes a game. I just don't get it.
Right, and the other guy's coming off the bench. It's Eric Murphy, who I don't think Billy Donovan really trusts that much, and Ray Shipman, who I wouldn't trust that much personally, because he's going to come in and make a couple of mistakes. Ironically, though, 4 points in like 6 minutes, 2 for 2, had like an assist and a steal. I don't know why he's not seeing more minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you can't count on Ray Shipman. Are we talking about Ray?
Yeah, Ray.
I don't know. I for some reason really thought Ray was going to be better than he is right now. Seemingly let me down pretty much at every opportunity, but he left out Kyle McClanahan.
First half minutes in South Carolina.
I think Shipman has the potential to be a decent player. To at least average 15 minutes off the bench.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
No, I agree with you. I don't know why. It's like a lot of his minutes have been very just like bland. It's like he's out there, but he's not plus or minus. Or occasionally he's a minus. I don't know. He's had some turnovers way earlier in the year.
He's not really anything, and that's the problem with all the guys off the bench is they're nothing.
Right. Well, the problem is I remember there was one lineup Wednesday night when they played South Carolina where it was like it was either Irv or Kenny and then like four
– just non-factors.
Yeah, non-factors. And that's when things really get bad because then it's you're essentially playing almost 1-on-5.
Geez, that was the big – I think it was Boynton. It was Boynton, Shipman, Werner, Murphy –
and McClanahan.
And McClanahan.
Yeah. Like, that lineup needs to never see the floor. That's absolutely outrageous.
Yeah, I don't know if Billy knows how to rest his players well, because he just, he either, like, takes them all out or takes out, takes out effective players. He gets comfortable, too, I think. Like, he sees he has those starting five who are efficient, productive, and he just gets comfortable with them, and he plays them for maybe too long.
And that's the baffling thing, too, is that as much as I rip Werner, I actually said that I do think he's your best option off the bench. Like, I think that he's your best option getting the sixth most minutes. I mean, he's not getting the sixth most minutes, but if it were broken down that way, just because literally nobody else has shown that they can
do anything
on a consistent basis. Like, I just don't understand. So, yeah, Werner's, like, maybe not going to kill you out there, but he's definitely not helping you, but maybe you plug in a guy who's going to actually hurt you. So, I don't know. I really, it's unbelievable that it's reached the point where they have five players who can play at this point.
Right.
That's about pretty rough. I'd be interested, Adam, you were in Columbia Wednesday. What was kind of like the mood, the tenor after the game?
They were just down on themselves for the free throws. I mean, you shoot 10 of 23, like 40%. Chandler Parsons said it's like nobody on the team is a 40% free throw shooter. Right. That should never happen on any occasion. And then they had a bunch of dumb turnovers.
Let me interrupt everyone. Did they seem to blame the free throw shooting more than the turnovers?
Yes, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're both equal parts. It was just really interesting. Because, like, it was more the discrepancy that was so glaring to me. It was just that Florida had 20 turnovers and South Carolina had, like, six.
It was six,
and
so,
I mean, yeah, free throw shooting is big, too. But it's, like, the stat that it showed it on is that South Carolina had 18 more shots than Florida.
Exactly.
Even though Florida shot well, they couldn't overcome it.
Yeah, Florida shot, like, what was it, 56% or something like that? Nearly
60%.
And South
Carolina shot 38%.
Yeah.
You should never lose a game when that happens.
Yeah, 100% I agree with that. And it's a little bit close to the Georgia game while they were here. Obviously, Florida still shot well against Georgia, like, upper 40s, maybe even 50. But Georgia shot, like, 60% from the field and got ran off by 16 points because they turned it over a million times. So they couldn't they couldn't play offense. They couldn't get themselves into a position to play offense. So it was a lot like that for me. And something else really interesting, I don't know the exact number, but when Florida played South Carolina in the O-Dome, they had only 2 or 3 turnovers.
It was very low,
It was, I think it was 3-2 for the game, and I don't remember which way that went. Like, there were pretty much no turnovers at all. So they significantly up that in South Carolina. That's right.
Yeah. Rowdy in Columbia, Adam? Is it rowdy?
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. It was, it was kind of, I thought Arkansas was a crazier road environment. I really liked Arkansas as a road environment. They, the thing that every other, and I can rant here for a second, thing that every other SEC school that I've been to so far does that Florida is terrible at is they put everybody close to the court and they put the rowdier people close to the court. Because you look at Florida, you have the student section on the side, and then just like the rest of the arena is pretty quiet. Right. So whereas South Carolina and Arkansas especially sort of surrounds the court and makes it a more interesting environment. Very
interesting.
Yeah, that's the one. Because the O'Connell Center, it's like we've complained about it before, is not being a good basketball environment like that. It's because the seating is so blocky and everything. It doesn't surround the court.
It'd be interesting to look at. I mean, you mentioned a couple examples, how just like a broader example of how it seems. Because I know some places, like the bottom rows of all sections are students.
Yeah.
But then I can kind of see like the alumni / the money side of that, where you want some alumni right up against the court.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's certainly not as loud. So.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we're transitioning to just a quick bit of news before we hit Gator Guarantees. Florida finally hired a defensive coordinator after many rumors and George Edwards coming for a 28-day stint in which he coached nothing.
Why was the featurehead not 28 days later?
That's great. There was actually like a story that like he had surgery even during some of those days, so he really did very little. But anyway, Florida has officially hired now, after it seemed the secret had been out for a while, Terrell Austin, who comes most recently from the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals, where he was a defensive backs coach. He has been a coach from college and the NFL since 91. Started as a grad assistant, and then everywhere else he's been a defensive backs coach. He had a layover with Steve Adazio in Syracuse from 96 to 98. So Terrell Austin is the Gators' new defensive coordinator. I don't have a big thought. I can't really break down Terrell Austin. I will say it was surprising to me the difficulty they had in finding a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I have zero thoughts other than, why can't Chuck Heater just be the defensive coordinator?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they got a defensive back, so you got to do it too.
I got the linebacker thing. Like, let's bring in the linebackers coach because we lost Charlie Strong, who did coach our linebackers. Why'd you do this to my boy Chuck? Why did this happen to him? No one knows.
That's what caught me off guard when I saw his defensive backs. I was like, oh, so they brought another guy to specialize in the defense. Like the other co-defensive coordinator?
They lost Vance Bedford, so maybe he'll coach cornerbacks or something. True. But at the same time, it's like, my heart goes out to Chuck.
Yeah. I mean, I just love how they list it and they play the game as if they were giving Heater a bit of a bump, because Austin is the defensive coordinator. Chuck Heater is the co-defensive coordinator. Now, Heater's not co with anyone else.
Yeah, because Austin's not co.
Because Austin's not co. But, I mean, that's just the game of titles and salary bumps and all that nonsense.
Yeah. Poor Chuck. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Poor Chuck. All right, we ready to move on to the Gator Guarantees?
Sure, Gator Guarantees.
Let's do it.
Let's roll.
Anybody got one to start?
Sure. I'll continue my streak of being wrong in everything. And I will say that the softball team, which kicks off its season this week with 5 games, will lose one of those 5. Against not very tough competition. I just think, early season, I don't know, Jitters, kind of different team. They lost some people. Just throwing it out there.
They lost to Baylor last year to start the year, the third game of 3-game series.
Yeah, I would say that they're not playing anyone as good as Baylor, though, this week.
That was a great team, though, last year. So, and I don't think this team is quite at that level. So,
All right. I'm going to say that if Florida beats Xavier, they will make the tournament. And if they don't, they won't. Nice. Not necessarily
because
of causation, but more of correlation.
Nice.
Interesting.
I like that.
You know, it certainly doesn't help. It's another team with an at-large, and then maybe they fall into a little bit of a funk or something like that.
Right.
But I'm just going to say, if they beat Xavier, they do. They don't, they won't.
It's sort of like if they're good enough to beat Xavier, they should be good enough to make it into the tournament. If not, they should.
It's a little bit down that line of thinking.
It's not an if-then, but an if. Then maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah,
something about that in the statistics or whatever class that was.
All right, I'm also going to make one based on the Xavier game. I'm going to say Florida does beat Xavier. And I'm going to say Kenny Boynton scores 20 points, 20-plus points.
On 50 shots?
60, actually. Okay. He's going to take more shots than Xavier's entire team.
He is a high-volume shooter, or as one ESPN announcer said, he's like Vlad Guerrero, he's a bad ball hitter.
Sure.
I'm just going to put that out there.
I'm also going to say that Crawford has one completely disgusting dunk, possibly on Vernon Macklin.
Oh, that'd be please, good. Please let me see it.
I'm all for disgusting dunks.
Yeah.
Travis Leslie really did it for me. I was hoping he'd deliver. He did. Speak of disgusting dunks.
Chandler Parsons just going nuts at the beginning of the South Carolina game. He's throwing in like outrageous one-handed reverses, just coming in, just throwing them down off the rim.
The alley-oop from either Irv or Kenny, that was
sick. It was from Irv. Unfortunately, he disappeared in the second half. I mean, the whole team kind of disappeared in the second half. But
well, Parsons really also had some of the worst turnovers at the beginning of the game. He was
Tyus had.
I'm not gonna blame some of on Parsons because Vernon Macklin apparently didn't have hands for the first couple minutes of the South Carolina game.
I don't think he has hands all season.
And one literally slipped through Alex Tyus' fingertips. So it's like he had like four turnovers in 4 minutes, but maybe one of them was actually his fault. Yeah. But
I will say this. I was kind of wrong about Chandler Parsons. I definitely didn't think he would grow into this kind of a player. I can't say enough about the guy. Like he's doing everything. He's really been a great player for them this year and really upped his game in every aspect, seemingly. So
I agree with that.
I think between the emergence of Irv a little bit earlier in the conference season where he just stopped missing shots and then how Chandler's developed into sort of the player they wanted him to be all the time, like those are the two bright spots in the season.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the point forward look with Chandler bringing up the ball is kind of a nice little set that Florida can throw in for a couple minutes during a game, which they did not seem to run at all against South Carolina.
They did a little bit, not as much as they did against
Alabama. Little.
Yeah. All right, well, that wraps it up for this show. Check back with us probably early next week. We'll have some sort of other podcast topic yet to be determined. But send any feedback you have about this or anything you want us to talk about to podcast@alligator.org. Thanks for listening.
End the show, Barry!